Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Bet by the two dots. Gemara here is quoting from the Mishnah, is Kamihi Kishuya. How long is the duration of the labor pangs that we are going to associate with the birth for the woman? How many days before her birth can the setting of dam along with the labor pains be considered to be dam toar because it belongs to the leida? So we had the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who says that it's 40 or 50 days. And the Gemara wants to understand it. Chashto chamishim mikshayo arba'im iboy. If you're telling me that 50 counts, then what do you need to tell me? 40 counts. Amar v'chista lokasha kan lechola kan lebriya. Depends on the nature of the woman. A woman who is in better health and stronger, then only 40 days will be associated with the birth itself. Whereas a woman who is of a weaker physical character, then 50 days would be the number that we use. A similar idea in the beginning of Arachin in regards to chinuch of children, that the Gemara there says 6 or 7, and the Gemara differentiates between a child that is healthy versus a child that is weaker. So we have this distinction in the Gemara sometimes between the physical condition of the individual, how many days would be associated, or time would be associated with that individual. So Sabo points out that many places in Shas, we have the Mishnah saying one number and another number, and of course the second number already incorporates the first number. So you have to look, he says, at the nature of the Mishnah. The Mishnah speaking in terms of Davko, it seems like it's giving exact terms, then you have to question when it gives you something like 40 and 50. On the other hand, if the Mishnah is just trying to indicate a size or something very large, and it gives two numbers, there it's not giving you an exact number, it's trying to give you a sense of proportion. I'm a Rabbi Levi. Ein avlad mitaher, ela yamim haru'iyim liyot behen zava. So Levi says the vlad's only mitaher, those days upon which the woman could become a zava, which are the 11 days ben nida le nida. You have the 7 days of nida. After that, she begins counting the 11 days of yamei ziva. During those days, if she sees once or twice, she's shomeret yom keneged yom. She sees a third time, she's a zava gdola. In the context of Leida, those 11 days will be classified as Yemei Ziva. Now, this is important because we distinguished before between Yemei Nida that are associated with the Leida and Yemei Ziva that are associated with the Leida. We said that the Leida protects, whereas Mitaher, the Dmei Ziva, but not the Dmei Leida. And so what Levi says is, the definition of Yemei Ziva is the 11 days between Nida and Nida, meaning after the 7 days of Nida, those 11 days, that is what qualifies as Yemei Ziva. Rav Amar afilu b'yamim haru'im l'sfirat Ziva. Doesn't necessarily have to be those 11 days exactly, but anything that started during that period of time of the Yemei Ziva, plus in addition to that, you get another 7 days after that. Because you have a Shiva Nikiyim. Not only do the days themselves of Yemei Ziva impact, but the subsequent 7 days afterwards are also a part and parcel of that, because they are the Shiva Nikiyim that she would require if she saw towards the end of those 11 days, and they're also classified or a part of the Yemei Ziva. Amar Rav Ada bar Abba, the Tamei de Rav, according to Rav, Afilo Yamim Aruim L'Sfirat Stirat Zava. Not only are the 11 days of Yemei Ziva and the Shiva Yemei Nikiyim part of those quote-unquote Yemei Ziva, but the possibility is that if she continues to see after those Yemei Ziva, that will postpone the Shiva Nikiyim, and she'll be still classified as being within the world or within the Yemei Ziva that the Leida will be mitaheret. So according to this last opinion, and so far we've read the Gemara according to Rashi, then Rav Ada bar Abba says that the Yemei Ziva can go on forever. Unless she has it at Petach L'Nida. She has it in a period of time when she is a Nida, or could become a Nida, then the Dam will not be Tahor. But after she reaches the Yemei Ziva, then Dam that she sees then, if it continues through to her Leida, any Dam from that point till the Leida will be Tahor, because those are all classified as Yemei Ziva, according to Rav Ada bar Abba. So according to Rashi, the three opinions lay out like this. Levi is saying that it's the 11 days of Yemei Ziva. Rav is saying it's the 11 days of Yemei Ziva plus the Shiva Nikiyim, which is a total of 18 days. And Rav Adarava is saying, once you've started and you made ziva, it's an unlimited number of days, because if she was continuing to see damim after the 11 days, it would keep postponing her ability to do the shimnikim, since those days are re'uyim for the ziva, they all count towards that dam that will be classified as Torah, since it's adjacent to the leida. Tosafot makes one point here, which is only important because of the Rambam. Tosafot here has Avam Nino, that the way that you count the cycle is that there'll be 7 days of Nida, 11 days of Ziva, and then right away, again, you would start the cycle of 7 and 11, and it would be a continuous cycle. And because in that context, yes, what's the nafkamino between Rav Adarava and Rav? But we know that according to most of Rishonim, that's not the way it works. The Rambam actually believes that that's the way the Nida works. You have 7 days of Nida, then 11 days of Yemei Ziva, and then you start again. 7 days of Nida, 11 days of Yemei Ziva, and they go continuously cycling like that, and there is no interim days. Most of the Rishonim believe, and this is what Tosafot says over here, is that you have 7 days of Nida, 11 days of Yemei Ziva, and then you have a break, or a period of time then, where unless she sees Damim, she's in a status of no man's land. It's not Nida, not Yimei Ziva, until she has a new sighting again at the beginning of her next cycle, and then she'll start again the 7 days of Nida, and then 11 days of Yimei Ziva. But there is a break. After the 7 and 11, there is approximately an 11-day break until she starts again the Petach the Nida. So based on that, Tosafot says there will be a nafkamina between Rav Adarava and Rav. Again, it's only important the fact that he has a havamina like the Rambam Meshita, and then rejects that and says, like most of the Rishonim. What's interesting is that he quotes the Rach, who differentiates between the three Shitot here, somewhat different than Rashi. And he says that Levi says, the 9 days, Tishayamim Arim Lesobem Zava. Levi's only Metaher, the 9 days in which he become a Zava Gdola. The 2 of the days during those 11-day period will not be classified as a Zavag Dola because she would only be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. So let's take, for instance, the first 2 days. The first 2 days don't count towards being a Zavag Dola, and therefore only the subsequent 9 days are what Levi is speaking about. Along comes Rav and says, anything that is Re'uyim L'Sfira are classified as being included in Yemei Ziva. And that means not only the 9 days of the Zava Gedola, but even day 10 and day 11, where she had a sighting there, she would not become a Zava Gedola because she's at the tail end of her Yemei Ziva. Nevertheless, Rav says those 2 days could count towards her Shiva Nikim, plus an additional 5 days afterwards to get to the Shiva Nikim. So Rav would say that it's a total of 16 days, that is 9 days of possible Ziva like Levi, plus the last 2 days which can go towards her Shiva Nikim, plus additional 5 to get the total Shiva Nikim. And then Rav Adarava adds on and says, no, you don't count the Shiva Nikim until after the 11 days you made Ziva. So according to him, it'll be 18 days. According to the Rach, Levi is suggesting it's a 9-day window. Rav is suggesting that it is a 16-day window, and Rav Adarava is suggesting that it's an 18-day window. As opposed to Rashi, who's suggesting that Levi thinks that it's an 11-day window, that Rav thinks it's an 18-day window, and then Rav Adarava thinks it's an unlimited window as long as you started during Yemei Ziva. It's not Kama Hu Kishuya. How long is this labor duration that we associate with the birth? Rav Meir Omer, Arba'im V'Chamishim Yom. So Bishlam al Rav Mishkachat Lo, in Rav's opinion, we can find it based on the Rav Adarava's definition in Rav. El Levi, according to Levi, how do you ever have a period where she has 40 or 50 days of labor pangs that are associated with the birth? Because she only has a limit of 11 days where she's Tehorah. So Levi Miktani Tehorah Bekulan. She doesn't say there that 40 or 50 days that she's Tehorah in all of them. Bimei Nida, Nida. Bimei Ziva, Torah. During those 40 or 50 days of labor pangs, depending where she has the sightings of Damim, that will determine whether she is Tehorah or not Tehorah. The 40 or 50 day window is just a limit to what we associate with the Leida. It doesn't tell us what that means, just says that is associated with Leida. Then we go for the second level of definition, which says that if it's Tamei Nida, she'll be Tamei'ah. If it's during her Yemei Ziva, she'll be Tehorah. Lishnach, we know, we have another Lashom that explains this machlok between Levi and Rav. Amar Rabbi Levi, ein avlad metaher leyamim aruim liot behem zavak gdola. So only metaher the days in which she could be a zavak gdola. Now, in terms of being a zavak gdola, you need 3 days in a row in order to be a zavak gdola. Tosafot over here brings that Rashi says that excludes number day 10 and day 11, because all the other days they can be mitzdarfim to make 3 days. But 10 and 11, if you have a sighting on 10 or 11, it cannot be mitzdareif to get to the 3 days. And therefore, it means the first spot 9 days. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel says that comes to exclude day 1 and day 2 of the 11 days. Because in day 1 and day 2, even when she sees in day 3 and becomes a zavak gdola, the first 2 days she wasn't a zavak gdola. She was still a zavak ktana. And so the Rabbeinu Chananel says it excludes day 1 and 2 of the 11 days of Yemei Zivah. But at least according to Levi, there are 9 days in which you have this din of Yemei Zivah. My time, because the pasuk says, Ki yozov zov dama, yamim rabim. From there we know the din of Zavak Dola, yamim rabim, being the 3 days that she has to have in order to become a Zavak Dola. And dama is where we darshan before, dama shemachmat. Dama avalo machmat avlad. The dama only is mitamei in Ziva, when it's because of her and not because of the Vlad, and that drasha, that is modified or qualified by Yamim Rabim. So therefore only those 9 days of Yamei Ziva will be classified or be affected by the drasha of Dama. Even days of a Zavaktana, that means the 11 days, all 11 days of Yamei Ziva. My taima, yimei, mecho yimei. So later on, in that same pasuk, it says, below eight nidata, oki tazuva nidata, ko yimei zov tumata, kimei nidata, tiye, temeyahi. Ko yimei, chazal dashi from that about a zava ktana. So therefore, that's also found in the same pasuk, and is modified by the dama. So that dama, the exclusion of vlad, even applies to yimei, ko yimei, which is the limud for zava ktana. Tznan. So now we'll have a question on both of them from the position of Rabbi Meir. Kamihi kshuya. How long is this labor pang still associated with the leida? Meir omer afilu arba'im v'chamishim yom. Kasha l'tarvayu. Now it's a question both Ann and Rav and Levi's position. And the answer will be similar. Miktani Torah b'kulan doesn't say that all 40 or 50 days she's classified as being Torah. But rather, those 40 or 50 days are considered to be within the framework of leida. What their status is within the framework of Leida will be determined by whether those are Bnei Nidata Nida, Bnei Zivata Torah. Turn out during her days of Nida, she will be Tmei'a. They turn out to be in her days of Ziva, then she will be Tehora. So Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Yesh Mikasha Kufnun Yom, Fein Ziva Laben. It's a possibility of a woman having 150 consecutive days of sighting of blood, and yet she will not become a zavag gedola. Now here we're talking about a yoledet bekoshi is having labor pangs. Keitza, shnayim below eight. She has 2 days of sighting at the tail end of her 11 days of Yemei Ziva. She was in a previous cycle. She already had a nida, and then she has 11 days of Yemei Ziva, and then the last 2 days, day 10 and 11, she has a sighting. Those will not add up to be a zavak dola, because when she sees on day 3, she actually becomes a nida. It's a petach nida. It's the start of a new cycle. So therefore, she'll have 2 days beforehand, then b'shiv'a nida. And now she'll become a nida, 7 days of nida. And then after the 7 days of nida, she starts another cycle of 11 days, yimei ziba, b'shnayim shalachar nida. And the first 2 days of those 11 days, she has a sighting. So far we've had 2, 7, and 2. That gives us 11 days. Then she's a chola, weaker woman, and she begins to see damim leading into the birth of a baby. So she have a chamishim shavlad mitaher. She have a subsequent 50 days in which the vlad covers her, because those will be considered pre-leida damim, and they'll be in the world of Yemei Ziva. They came during her Yemei Ziva, and therefore they'll count the next 50 days of being tahor. Then after she gives birth, the subsequent shmonim is shal nekeva. She gave birth to a female. The next 80 days are covered by Dmei Leida. First 14 days are Tmeim, and the next 66 days are Teorim, but she'll never become a Zavag Dola. Then after she completes the 80 days, on the 81st day when she sees Damim, she's now a Nida for 7 days. And in addition to that, After she completes the 7 days of Nidah, she sees for the first 2 days of her Yemei Ziva, the 11 days that are subsequent to that Nidah. So if you add those all together, you end up with 150 days where a woman can be seeing Damim every single day. So doesn't mean she won't be Tmeah. She will be Tmeah sometimes, Torah sometimes, but she'll never become a Zavak Dola. And then it comes out from 2 days, from the last 2 days of Yemei Zivav, 11 days, then 7 days of Nidah, then an additional 2 days, the first 2 days of her Yemei Zivav from the next cycle. So that'll give you the 11 days that we spoke about. The 50 days leading into her birth, where she's having birth pangs, so that gives us 61. They have an additional 80 days after she gives birth to a female, which gives us 141. After she completes the 80 days, she'll have another Nidah, 7 days of Nidah, which gives us to 148. And then she'll begin her 11 days of Yemei Ziva. She'll go 2 days into that without becoming a Zavak Dola, and that'll give you 150 total days. So here she is citing 150 days straight, yet she will not become a Zavak Dola. So Amrulo, they say back to Rabbi Meir, why'd you limit it at 150? We can get even more. Imkain, yesh mikasha ko yamea vein ziva ola ben. But you can have a woman who sees Dam her whole life, and she has birth pangs, basically she goes from cycle to cycle. During the 80 days after or subsequent to the birth of the Nekeva, she becomes impregnated again. And after she becomes impregnated, she miscarries. In that process of miscarrying, right after the 80 days, 7 days of Nidah, the 2 days of Yemei Ziva, she goes into birth pangs again for 50 days, and then has a miscarriage and gives birth, and will have another 80 days after that, and so on and so forth. So the rest of her life, she can be seeing Damim, and never become a Zavah Gdolah. What are you thinking, Mishum Nefelim? Because of miscarriages where you have non-viable fetuses, when they're born, you're going to suggest that the birth pangs leading into their birth will also have this din of being adjacent to the Leida, and therefore they're covered by the Leida, so that they will not be classified as Zavak Dola. That's not true, because in Koshi Lenefeblim, this whole din of labor pangs associated with blood, therefore the blood is then covered by the Leida, that only applies when it's a full-fledged Leida, when it's a viable entity or baby that you're giving birth to. But when it comes to a fetus that is born, that is not viable, that's a miscarriage, over there's no such concept as Koshi Samuch Leida. Tanur Banan. Yeshua Me'ayom, Vein Ziva Ulaben. There's a possibility of a woman seeing for 100 days straight and not having any din of a Zavak Dola. Now basically this is the same as Rabbi Meir's setup, except over here we're talking about a case where it's below Koshi, without having these pre-labor pangs. So if you take it without the labor pangs, you're basically dropping 50 days out of this. You drop the 50 days out, you end up with 100 days. And that's basically what's going to happen here. Kate said, Shnai below 8. She sees 2 days at the tail end of her Yemei Ziva. That means day 10 and 11. Shiva Nidah, and then she starts a new cycle of Nidah, which is 7 days. Ushnaim Shalachar Nidah. And then 2 days after that, which is day 1 and 2 of her 11 days of Yemei Ziva after the Nidah. Total of 11. Shmonim Shal Nekeva, she gives birth then, and then has 80 days for the Nekeva. So now we're up to 91. Vishiva Nidah, and afterwards, in day 81, she has a sighting, she has 7 days of Nidah, that makes you to 98. And then Shnayim Shalachar Nidah, and then you have the 2 days, day 1 and 2 of her Yemei Ziva, that get her up to 100. So that's the same, basically, count as Rabbi Meir, just dropping the 50 days of the labor pangs. Maika Mashmalon. Okay, very nice. We know that you can add, we know that you can come up with this scenario. What is this teaching us? Afugei Mandamar, Yevshad Ptichat Kever below Dam. This comes to exclude the opinion of the individual who says that you cannot have a Ptichat Kever below Dam. If the womb opens up, there must be some sort of discharge of blood. Kamash Balon, from here we can conclude that Evshad Ptichat Kever below Dam. There is such a possibility that the womb is open, and yet there'll be no setting of Dam. Because otherwise, when she gives birth, she had 2 days of Yemei Ziva going into that. She already seen on day 1 and 2 of Yemei Ziva. On the 3rd day, now she gives birth to the baby. If you believe Ein Ptichat Kever below Dam, that when the womb opens, automatically there's blood flowing out, then that blood that flowed out would be before the Leida, because over here she doesn't have Koshi, she doesn't have any difficulty in giving birth, so that Damim will not be associated with the Leida, it will be associated with the Ziva. So in a moment before the baby came out, she saw Dam, that Dam would be the 3rd day of her Yemei Ziva, and she'd become a Zavak Dola, and be Yoledet B'Zov. The fact that we don't say that over here, that she's not Yoledet B'Zov, we can assume that there can be peticha de kever, the womb can open up and not have a setting of damim, and therefore the only thing that makes her tmeah here is the leida, and that is not associated with the yimei ziva that came beforehand. And that's how we get to this count of 100 without her ever becoming a ziva gdola. Yudomer daya chodsha. She gets enough that she gets a month. Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Tarfon Daya Chodesha. It's enough that she gets a month. Yesh v'davar akel ulachmir. That turns out to be a chumra sometimes and a kula sometimes. Ketzad. Kishetas shnayim v'sov shmini. If she has difficulty, if she is having labor pangs and sightings of damim on the last 2 days of month 8, v'chad b'tchilat tshi'i, and then one day into the ninth month, v'afilu b'tchilat tshi'i alda, and even if she gives birth in the beginning of the ninth month, that is considered to be Yoledet B'Zov, because the majority of the days where she saw damim were in the eighth month, and since they were in the eighth month, they are not counted or not covered by the Leida, and so when she sees the third day during the ninth month, she's already a Zavag Dola, and only after that does she give birth. Aval, Kishita Yom Echad B'Sof Shmini, on the other hand, if she had labor pangs and sightings of dam at the end of the eighth month, Ushtayim b'tchilat shi, and then 2 days into the ninth month, v'afilu b'sof shi yalda, even if she gives birth at the end of the ninth month, ein zu yoledet b'zov, even though they've had a break here in between, since she had birth pangs and sightings of damim during the ninth month, the majority of her sighting for those 3 days was during the ninth month, they are covered by the leida. Now obviously this is, when she has a cessation of the labor pangs, she also has a cessation of dam. Because if she's dam with the cessation of the labor pangs, then turns her back into Yoledet B'Shofi, and then she'd be classified as a Zavag Dola. So what happened here was that on last day of the eighth month, she saw damim with pain. First 2 days of the ninth month, the same thing. Then she has a break. Doesn't have labor pangs, doesn't have damim at all, and then gives birth at the end of the ninth month. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's covered by this ninth month. As long as she's within the ninth month, it's considered to be damim that are associated with the birth if there were labor pangs along with it. And this woman will not be classified as a Yoledet B'Zov, even though she only gives birth a month later, and she has this interim period where she sees nothing. She has no pangs and sees no damim. Amarav, other Babel. Shmamina, from this you can conclude, Kasav Rabbi Yehuda Shipura Gorim, that the shofar is what's Gorim. As Rashi points out, the shofar means the shofar to announce that it's Rosh Chodesh, that it's the month itself, the Rosh Chodesh itself, that is Gorim. Tosafot over here spends time proving, and you can see that if you think about the Gemara that we just read, that when we're talking about the eighth month and the ninth month here, it's not the eighth and ninth month of her gestation. It's the eighth month and ninth month based on the lunar calendar. When she enters into the ninth Rosh Chodesh, on which she is pregnant, that's what we're speaking about over here. The eighth month and ninth month are the lunar months over which her gestation is spread. And that's what it means when we say Tchilachchi, the beginning of the ninth month or the end of the ninth month, doesn't mean the of her gestation, but rather the beginning of the ninth month, the ninth Rosh Chodesh, in which she is pregnant, through the end of that ninth month of Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodeshim that she passes through. And Tosafot has a number of proofs, including because of the way the Gemara is laid out here, that would make it impossible to say it's talking about the months of her pregnancy, but rather must be talking about the fixed months of the year. And therefore you could have a possibility where she enters into the ninth month and then there's only 2 or 3 days that she's covered by, or you can have it that the whole ninth month is covered by this din of Rabbi Yehuda. It really depends and what day of the month she became impregnated. Where it says, Ini, is this really true? Is it really possible for a woman who goes into her ninth month to give birth to the baby during that ninth month? Does she have to go to full gestation of the 9 months? Or is there a possibility that what we call Mekutaim, the possibility that it doesn't have to be a full month in that ninth month? Now, the way we just set up with Rabbi Yehuda, it sounds like there's a possibility that the woman could give birth at the beginning of the ninth month, that it could be Mikutaim, doesn't have to be the end of the ninth month. Yet, we have this memra from Shmuel that says,
Ein isha mitaberet violetet ela,
that a woman's pregnancy must last either matayim shivim ve'achad yom, 271 days, or the matayim v'shivim u'shnayim yom, 272 days, or the matayim v'shivim u'shlosha, or 273 days. The assumption being that there are 9 months in their pregnancy, 9 times 30 days of the months of pregnancy gets you to 270 days. The 1, 2, 3 days have to do with the completion of the ninth month, and then the woman can give birth. Why there's a difference of 1, 2, and 3 has to do with the fact that we learned earlier, that the shichvat zera is viable for 72 hours. And that's why if the woman is poletet shitfa zera within the first 72 hours, that it's still considered to be tamei because it's efficacious or able to fertilize during that 72-hour period. So we don't know when the woman conceived because there's a possibility in the window of time when she was together with her husband for the next 72 hours that any point during that time that she could have become impregnated. So that gives you a possibility of 271, 72, and 73. So Mar says, Hudamar ka chasidim mishunim. He holds like the chasidim mishunim, the tanyo, chasidim mishunim, lo ayu mishamshim mitoteem, ele brevi b'shabbat. Shelo yavou nishotehem lidei chilul Shabbat. That the chasidim rishonim only used to get together with their wives on Tuesday night. Because if they conceived Tuesday night, they would not have their baby on Shabbat. And therefore they wouldn't have any questions or problems of chilul Shabbat. So the Shmuel's position is premised on this breita. The breita that these chasidim rishonim were counting on the fact that the full term gestation was 271, 72, or 73. And because of that, they were together with their wives on a particular day. Umar says, on the Tuesday night and no other time. So, Ema, you have to say, Mirviv Eilech, from Tuesday night and onward. Now, what the Gemara is saying, and we'll explain this in one second, is that the one could be together with their wife on the Tuesday night, the Wednesday night, the Thursday night, and the Friday night. Any one of those 4 days, if they are together with their wives, assuming that the full term is 271, 72, and 73, then the baby will not be born on Shabbat. The days are precluded from being together with one's wife that would end up with Chilul Shabbat are Motzei Shabbat, meaning Saturday night, the Sunday night, and the Monday night. The reason for that is that 271 divided by 7 ends up to be 38 full weeks plus 5 extra days. 272 divided by 7 is 38 weeks with 6 extra days. And 273 days is exactly 39 weeks. So if they were to conceive on Motzei Shabbat, exactly 39 weeks later would be Shabbat itself. And so that's why they would not be together with their wives on Motzei Shabbat, because that conception could possibly result in the baby born on Shabbat. You're born on Thursday, Friday, or Shabbat, based on whether it's 271, 272, or 273. So to avoid that, they were not together with their wives on Motzei Shabbat. You move on to Sunday night. On Sunday night, if the baby is born 272 days later, that is 38 weeks and 6 extra days. Those 6 extra days will land you on Shabbat. So again, the baby could be born on Friday, Shabbat, or Sunday, depending if it's 271, 72, or 73. So in order to avoid that problem, they did not get together with their wives on Sunday night. And again, on Monday night, they did not get together with their wives because that could result in a birth on Shabbat. Because if it was 271 days later, that would be 38 weeks and 5 extra days. Those 5 extra days would land you on Shabbat. So on Monday night, the possibility is that the baby is born on Shabbat, Sunday, or Monday. So in order to avoid the possibility of it landing on Shabbat, because there's 3 possibilities of how many days the gestation is, 271, 72, and 73, therefore they were not together with their wives on Motzei Shabbat, Sunday night, and Monday night. But already from Tuesday night and onward, which is Leil Rivi'i, from that night and onwards, they were together with their wives because no matter which one of those durations, 271, 72, 73, would not land on Shabbat. So, Ma'itamayu de Chasidim Arishonim, where do they know this from, that is the gestation of the woman? Tichtiv, because it says, by root, Vayiten Hashem la herayon. Hashem gave her a conception of pregnancy. Herayon b'gematria, the gematria of herayon is matan b'shivimechad, 271 avu. If you add it up, the nun and the resh is 250, the yud is 260, and then the hay and the vav is an additional 11 is 271. So hinted in the word herayon is this idea of 271 days of the normal gestation, and again, the additional days of 272 and 73 cover the fact that the conception based on the Sheikh Vadzera is for 72-hour window. And because of that, they came up with these 3 days, and that's why they would not be together with their wives on Motzei Shabbat, Sunday night, and Monday night. Amar Mezutra. Afilu leman damar yoledet letisha, eino yoledet demekutayim. Over here, we just saw a machlok as to whether in the 9th month of gestation, a woman has to reach the completion of the 9th month, which is the position of the Hasidim Rishonim as well as Shmuel. Or is it a possibility that in the 9th month, you could even have less than a full month of gestation, which was the position of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Tarfon, that you could even have a birth in the middle of the 9th month. That is a machloket. That machloket is regards to the 9th month. Remember that Chazal believed that a baby that is born will be viable if it's born in the 7th month or the 9th month. If it's born in the 8th month, it will not be viable. So here we're speaking about the 9th month of gestation, whether it has to reach full gestation or even in the middle of the 9th month is okay. So Mar Zutra comes and says, that you have to go to full 9 months of gestation in order for the baby to be okay. Everybody agrees if the baby's born during the 7th month, that doesn't have to complete the full 7 months. It can be anywhere during the 7th month. How do we know this? It was after a duration of time, after she had come up to Shiloh, daven for a baby, that she conceived Shmuel. And it says over there, Kufat Hayamim. What's Tkufat Hayamim? So Tkufot are seasons. Tkufot here is written in plural. So the minimum of plural seasons would be 2 seasons. Every season lasts 3 months. So if I take 2 of those together, that's 6 months. And then it says Yamim. Yamim, the minimum of a plural of days is 2. So that would be 2 seasons and 2 days. That's 6 months and 2 days, which is into the 7th month. And we see that Shmuel was born and was, of course, a viable baby. So from that we see that Miut Kvot Shtayim Miut Yamim Shnayim. That's how we know that in the 7th month, they don't have to go to full term or full gestation. Even in the middle of the month, we've been classified as a birth. There's no more than 2 weeks of birth pangs and setting of dam that we will associate with the birth. What's the reason behind Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon's position? That she'll be tmeya for 2 weeks if she gives birth to a nekeva like her nida. Kinidata velo kezivata. Has to be like her nida and not like her ziva. Michlal, de zivata tehora. From that we can see or we can infer that her days of ziva would be tehorim. Vikamo, how much would be tehor? Well, that tells you in the pasuk, utmeya shvuayim. So for 2 weeks, if she was a nida, then that would not get rid of the problem of tuma, and she would have tumat nida, which will be anyway when she gives birth, because the days of nida are not covered by the birth. On the other hand, the meziva are covered by the birth. For how much time are they covered? From the shvuayim, for the 2 weeks that's mentioned in the pasuk. Tarabanan, yesh mikasha 25 yom ve'en ziva ola ben. A woman can be in birth pangs and see damim and never reach the point of being a zavah gdola. This is similar to what we saw before in the previous amud. Kabbalah is going to calculate the possibility of her having sightings of damim will not land her in a position of being a zavah gdola. So the Gemara says here that the maximum amount of time would be 25 days. Now, of course, this is, number one, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, only grant you 2 weeks. So that's the first qualification over here. The other qualification is that she has some sightings bikoshi and some sightings that are not bikoshi. And it's only counting the days before Leida. It's not counting the post-Leida days, which would add on an additional, if she gives birth to Nekeva, could add on another 80 days plus the 7 days of Nida afterwards and 2 days of Ziva, could add on another 89 days to this number. But the number 25 here is derived from the Shita of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon and prior to Leida. Okay, it's at Shnayim below 8. She sees 2 days of sightings at the end of her 11 days of Yemei Ziva, Vishiva Nida, and then 7 days of Nida, because now she's past her Yemei Ziva, a sighting will cause her to be Petach L'Nida, and for the next 7 days she's Tmeya Nida. Then she begins the next cycle of 11 days of Ziva, so that's 2 more days if Aleph and Bet, because that makes her a Zavah Ktana, not a Zavah Gdula. Then Shalachar Nida. Then Varbar Sar Shavlad Mitair. Then the subsequent 14 days where she is Bikoshi, she's having birth pangs and sighting Damim, and you'll end up with 25 days. You have 272, which is 11 days, plus the 14 days of koshi, that adds up to 25 days. V'yav shar shetit kasha 26 yom below vlad. If she has 26 days of flowing, and there is no birth, then she must be, lo te yoled b'sof, she must be a zavah gdola. Either because she saw 3 days during her yemei ziva, or because the duration of the birth pangs and the damim extend over 14 days, over 2 weeks, and then again, she would be a zavah gdola, because those are not covered. Those days would not be covered by the koshi that precedes the leida. So that's how we come to this 25 number, and 26 would automatically land you in a position of being a zavah gdola. Gemara says, below vlad? What do you mean without a birth? There's no birth here, then 3 days in a row also land her as a Zavagdola. Now it's a place where there is a Vlad, but has yet to be born. It says that there was no Vlad born here. She could not, impossible for her to have 26 days of sequential sightings without her becoming a Zavagdola when she is giving birth. Blote Yoledet Bezov. And then she must be a Yoledet Bezov because she'll be a Zavagdola. Umakom She'ein Vlad Elenefel. In a case where there is no viable fetus, just a miscarriage. Ben Vlatanami Avya Zavo. Then 3 days in a row she'll be a Zavagdola because there is no protection. Remember we saw that before in the previous Amud that Rabbi Meir told us that there is Ein Koshi L'Nefelim. That when you have a miscarriage or a non-viable fetus, we do not assign any of the days of the birth pangs towards the Leida. And therefore, any damim she sees prior to the Leida will be classified as a Zavagdola. And that's why 3 days will be sufficient to make her into a Yoledet Bezov. My taima, again, what's the reasoning? In Koshe L'Nefelim. Okay, next Mishnah. Amikasha B'toch Shmonim Shel Nikeva. Woman is having birth pangs during the 80 days after giving birth to a Nikeva. Kol damim she ra'ah te'orim. All the damim that she sees at that point in time, considered to be tahor, ad she yitzeh vlad, until the vlad is discharged. Rabbi Lezer mitameh. Rabbi Lezer says, no, that damim is tameh. We'll explain in the Gemara what their machloket revolves around here in the Mishnah. They'll begin, and it'll continue in the Gemara. Now the case here is where she either gave birth, and then the twin stayed in longer, and now she's having birth pangs with the twin coming out during the 80 days after post-Leida. Or the other possibility is that after her 2 weeks of Tumah, she became impregnated again, and now she's having a possibility of a Vlad being discharged here with Damim. So the Chamim say, Amru lo, l'Rabbi Eliezer. The Chamim, who disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer and say she's Tahorier, they said to him, Uma b'makom shimechimir b'dama shofi, in a case where, or a situation in which, she sees Damim without any birth pangs, she will be Tmeya, that is before she gives birth. Before the time of the birth, any dam that she saw, if she didn't have any birth pangs, that would be blood that would make her Tmeya. Hey Kel, Badama Koshi. Over there, prior to the birth, any damim she saw with the birth pangs, we are mekil to say that that dam is Tehora, and we do not classify her as being a Tmeya because they were associated with the birth. Makom Shei Kel, Badama Shofi, post-birth, where she has 66 days of Yemei Tara, that any damim she sees is considered to be Tahor without birth pangs, then certainly, in Udin, Shinekel Badamakoshi, certainly you should be Mekil with the Damakoshi and say that the Damakoshi is considered to be Tahor. So that's the Kal v'chomer that the Chachamim make and say to Rabbi Elezer, that's our logic. Amar Lahen, he responds to them, Dayol Avo Min Adin Liot Kenidon. So okay, I agree with you, and very nice Kal v'chomer. Except, the fact is that before the birth, the koshi, the dama koshi, blood that comes out with birth pangs, is only tahor if it's during her yemei ziva. If it's during her yemei nida, she is tameya. So he says, okay, make the kavachomer. We have a principle with kavachomer, which is dayol avo min adin liot kenidon, which means wherever we're learning from, the recipient of that limud cannot be better than the source of the limud. So if the source of the limud is damim before the birth, in that case, the dam akoshi is only mutar if it's dam ziva, not if it's dam nida. So too here, the kal v'chomer, so at post-birth, if you use that kal v'chomer, the dam of ziva will be Torah, the dam of nida will be tmeya. If that's the case, and all the damim that she sees post the leida is quote-unquote dam nida or not dam ziva. And that's the case, then the damim should be tmeim. So Tan Rabbanan, teshev, is written by the woman who gives birth that she has to sit for 66 days, or for the zachar, 33 days, be demei tara. Rabot, amikasha, betok shmanim shel nekeva, that comes to teach you that if there is damim that exits because of birth pangs during the 80 days of nekeva, that is tahor. Shekol damim shiroa torin, ashi yitzeh avlad. Rabbi Lezer mitamei. So here, instead of it being a kal v'chomer, we have the Rabbanan learning it out of a limud from the pasuk. Amru lo l'Rabbi Lezer, mama kom sheyechmir b'shofi shelifnei avlad, hekel b'shofi shelachar avlad. So this is the kal v'chomer that the Chachamim had presented to Rabbi Lezer in the Mishnah being repeated. Over it, before birth, if she sees damim without any birth pangs, we're machmir, she's tmeya. But if she sees damim after she gives birth, during the Yemei Tahara, even without any birth pangs, she is Torah. So that's talking about dam bishofi without any birth pangs. Then, kal v'chomer, where makom sheikel b'koshi, tmei avlad, the birth pangs and damim that are seen before the birth, There we say that that is Torah. Certainly we should be made kill with the birth pangs of damim that happened during her 80 days. Exactly what we said in our Mishnah. Beforehand, when dama koshi, the only thing that's muteret or is considered to be Torah is mitumat ziva. And that'll be the same here. And over here, since there is no din of zava during the 80 days, then this damim is definitely not dam ziva to be Torah. We'll create the kal v'chomer in a different way that'll avoid this problem. Beforehand, when we dealt with the shofi, with the blood that is seen without any birth pangs, over there we're machmir, and we are mekil b'damakoshi shimo. Makom. After the leida, a place where there may kill b'shofi, shalachar v'lad, and udin shenekel b'koshi shimo. So Rechambanan, what they do is they move the limud from being from dam beforehand, damakoshi beforehand to damakoshi afterwards, to saying that it's structured that there's shofi and koshi beforehand, and shofi and koshi afterwards. So we're going to learn now from the shofi. The shofi before is problematic, koshi is not. After Vlad, Shofi is not problematic, so certainly Koshi should not be problematic. Rabbi Lezer answers them and says, listen, you just reworded it. It's a semantic game. In the end, you still need to learn it out from the Koshi that was beforehand. So that's a nice way of rewording it, but it doesn't solve your problem. Says you can reword this any way you want, all the semantics in the world. Again, you still have this problem of the koshi beforehand only being muteret or teorah when we're dealing with ziva, not when we're dealing with nida. And therefore, afterwards, I say the same thing. With this limud, Rabbi Lezer could have taken care of all the claims of the Rabbanan. And that is, lava mritu, in the pasuk, where do we know the limud of the fact that damim that she sees bekoshi lifnei leida do not qualify her to be a zavag dola? It's because the pasuk says vishaki yazuv zov dama dama velo dam vlad. So that has to be blood that comes from her and not because of the vlad. Nachanami. So to over here it says utara mimkor dameha. So the pasuk by birth by parshat Tazria that says for those 66 days she will be teora. It says utara mimkor dameha. So we'll make the same limud dameha machmat atzma velo machmat vlad. So if you make the same limud by there, by the qualification of dam to'ar, you'll have the same qualification that we made by dama, by zova. And if you do that, then the limud is embedded in the dama to'ar, that it only applies to a dam that comes because of her, and not because of the vlad. So she has a dama koshi. That dam will be governed by the fact that it's dama. And since it's dama, and we'll make the same limud that it's dama machmat ziva, not dama machmat nidata. So now the last line here in the Gemara, it's a machloket between Rashi and the Rabbi Menachem in the Tosafot, exactly who it's addressing. Rashi reads it as a question on Rabbi Lezer's position, which is, according to Rabbi Lezer, Ema bimei nida nida, bimei ziva teora. Okay, if that's the limud that you have, then at least, or if you make the Kal v'chomer, at least say that when it's her yimei nida, she's a nida. Bimei ziva, she's teora. As Rashi points out, could go into Rata Bekoshi Shivat Yamim Rishonim. For the first 7 days, she sees Damim. So there she'll be classified as a Nida. But if she sees anything beyond that, that'll be Tam Tahor, because those will be during what would have been her Yamei Ziva. So you should create a virtual cycling during the Yamei Tohar, which is the 7 days will be Nida, then the next days will be Ziva. And depending on where she sees the Damim, that should have impact in terms of whether the Dam is Tor or not Tor. So the answer of Rabbi Lezer is, Amar Kra Teshev, Yeshiva Achat Lekulan. Pasuk says Teshev means that all Damim are equal over here. And since I think the Damim are Tmeim when it comes to Nida, therefore everything's equal and everything will be Tameh. That's the way Rabbi Rashi reads it. On the other hand, Rabbi Menachem says it's a continuation of the statement of Rava. It's Rava saying what Rabbi Lezer would have said to Rabbanan in order to have a proof from the Pasuk, and then he gives the response of the Chachamim to Rabbi Eliezer, which is, Ema b'nei dida nida b'mei ziva tehora. Let the Chachamim subscribe to this limud of Rabbi Eliezer. It's a great answer, what he has. It's a great limud from the Pasuk. Answer for the Chachamim is, Pasuk says, Teshev, Yeshiva achad l'kulan. So we know that by nida it's tmeya, by ziva it's tehora. Since by ziva it's tehora, we're going to say Teshev, that they all have one stroke, which is that they'll all be tehorim. So in the end, it turns out, the way Rashi and the Rabbeinu Menachem are learning it, The machloket between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim is really about this issue of teshev. They both agree in the end that the limud comes out of the pasuk that says nidaz tmeya and zivaz torah. Then it says teshev to equate them. Which way do you equate them? Rabbi Lezer equates them to the tzad of the tmeya, saying that everything's like the nida, and the Chachamim equate them all to the side of ziva and say that everything is tehora. So based on that, if you combine the pshat of Rashi and the Rabbeinu Menachem, the machloket is in this issue of teshev, how you equate or level out the damim of Tohar. Do you go to the tzad dara or you go to the side of ziva?
According to Rabbi Eliezer, the limud from the pasuk of Tmeya indicates to us that we should lean towards the side of Tmeya, whereas according to the Chachamim, the Kal V'Chomer, which brings us the tzad dara, tells us to lean towards the side of Tara, and therefore
the Tara Mimkor Damea becomes extraneous, and I'll have to use that for some other limud. Okay, we'll stop over here.